Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project, Pittsburgh Section. Today is August 16th, 1999. We're here with our respondent, Mina Cavalier, and the interviewers are Angela Leibowitz and Minna Nielsen. Correction, today is August 15th, 1999. Mina, we're going to start very generally with a history of your immediate family. Tell us a little bit about your mother, father, and siblings, giving us names and birth dates, if you will, along the way.
My mother's birthday was April 12th, and she was 85 years old when she died. She was born in 1902. She's now dead 10 years, and was a very important factor in my life, probably my best friend. My father was only 57 years old when he died. He was born in 1900, and he was died in 1957, and he was a very important factor in the old Pittsburgh, actually New Kensington, because his father, my grandfather, owned a cigar and a candy factory in New Kensington. They lost that cigar and candy factory when my father was about to begin running it, because business was not into cigars and candy at that time. And my grandfather went into the Jewish Home for the Aged. And he was a wonderfully Renaissance man for that period of time. Really, my first beginnings with Jewish community life was at the Jewish Home for the Aged on Browns Hill Road, because we visited with him every Sunday, and that was an important day for him. We took him out to dinner, and we played there, my brother and I. I have a brother who is 19 months younger than I am, and I'm 70, will be 71 in October 16th, and he was, as I said, 19 months younger. So my brother and I used to find Sundays very enjoyable, because my grandfather was a wonderful man, very, very interested in everything that went on around him, well-read, and was a very important person at the Home for the Aged. So I grew up knowing the community was important, because he was so happy in this particular facility. It was very different in those days, as you can well imagine. Most of the fine Jewish families had their parents there, and there was no stigma attached to being at the Jewish Home for the Aged. It was the place in the city. I can remember going down the long halls and seeing the plaques everywhere with people's names on it, and feeling so identified with various members of the Jewish community. That was my father's father, and my mother's mother, that's my grandmother, was mostly involved with everything in the community. My grandmother and grandfather lived on McKee Place, on Juliet Street, and for a long time. They owned the three-floor house that was on Juliet Street and a huge amount of garages in the back of it. My grandmother was one of the pillars of Lechemanium, which distributed baskets of fruit and Thanksgiving turkey baskets at that time. And during any holiday, large amounts of food to people in the Jewish community who didn't have what they had. That, again, was a very big influence on my becoming involved in the Jewish community at a very early age, because they were so involved. My grandmother was. My grandfather was really, there was a small shul on Ward Street in Oakland. I can't remember the name of that shul, but he used to take me and my brother there, and my cousin Jack Julius, who was my aunt's son, only son. And Jack Julius is now a caterer in the city of Pittsburgh. He's Bernardus Catering. And that particular time, the three of us, my cousin Jack is also 19 months younger than I am, or thereabouts, and so he was my brother's age. And the three of us, my grandfather used to take with him to the shul on Ward Street, where you had to sit separately, because that was just the way to, that you did things in those days. But later, when we were going to Hebrew school, it was to Tree of Life that we went, and that was over near the other part of Oakland that was near Joe Hammer Square, and that was where it was then. And then it moved to, it stayed at the Pittsburgh Playhouse, where the Pittsburgh Playhouse was, and then moved, Craft Avenue, and then it moved to Squirrel Hill, a long time afterward. And that was where I was confirmed, also, from Tree of Life Synagogue. I wasn't bat mitzvahed, because you didn't do that in those days, but my brother was bar mitzvahed, and so was my cousin Jack. That end of my mother's side of the family was, as I said, very involved in the Jewish community because of my grandmother, who was president of all these major organizations that were the cemetery, the Jewish Pliskover Women, the Cemetery Committee, those kinds of things is what she was involved in. And she took me with her because it was just easy to take along a granddaughter, especially one who was interested in what she was doing. She was a wonderful woman, and died when I was just about 13, 14 years of age. But the influence was there nevertheless. She was also interested in those boxes that you carried around. I think that was through Lechemanium too. You put money in it with a pushy box. Mm-hmm. So I grew up thinking that you had to give no matter what. And when I was a sophomore in Shenley High School, UJF started a new campaign. And the campaign dealt with getting high school students to put in 50 cents for the year. It would, for that time, it was a little bit of money from us. And I was made the chairman of that campaign for the high schools, for all the three high schools, Alderdice, Shenley, and Peabody High mm-hmm. School. And that was a very big thing in those days. Of course, we had no Jews at Westinghouse, and so that wasn't an item for us to worry about. But those three I was the chairman of, and because they made this a new thing, I was included in all the UJF board meetings. So at a very early age, actually 16, I was going to the big board and thought that was the living end. I just thought, oh, how wonderful that I was, you know, a part of it. And it was. actually it gave me an inkling about people like the Alvin Rowe gals and many of the big board people who would never have probably looked at me. I remembered serving with Labe Kessler on numerous committees and doing things like that. In addition to that, I was the person that would go to the what was then the YMWHA on Belfield Avenue, down the street from where I'm now living, because my group, everybody that was Jewish then, belonged to the YMWHA, went and watched basketball games, and were in the canteen that there was there, and that was our social program. That was what we did, other than what I did in my high school, being a cheerleader and those kinds of things. I had a social life, but for Jewish life, you went on Saturday nights and Sundays to the YMWHA. So I happened to love basketball, and I used to keep score for the basketball teams. One of my dates was Jeff Miller, who was a basketball player. Don't even know what's happened to him now or where he is, but we used to see each other at the basketball games. And so because I had such an interest in the life of the YMWHA, they also put two young people on their board. And so at a very, very early age, I was affiliated with the YMWHA on its board as a teenager. And so it gave me, there was a duplication. Those people who were very active in UJF were also the people who were active at the YMWHA. Sometimes you'd find somebody like the older Mr. Rogow, who was really only involved with the YMWHA, but gave so generously to UJF that probably they served on both boards. But I had all these people who I grew up with who were very vital in the community, and there was no way that I wasn't going to be involved some way or another.
You have quite a history of volunteerism.
Right. From a very early age.
Your family at a very early age.
Yes.
Just backing up to your family a little bit, let's get some names of family members, like your grandparents and your parents.
Okay, my grandmother's name on my mother's side was Esther Kaiserman, and my grandfather was Max Kaiserman.
Okay.
And my grandfather on my father's side, I never knew my grandmother on my father's side. She died before I was born. Actually, I am named for her. Her name was Minna Servin, and my mother wanted to be different and didn't like the name Minna, so she called me Mina, added to it May. I hate the name, but I dislike it because I'm constantly called Mina, Minna, everything but Mina. Nobody seems to get that name right, but I always thought it was odd. And then I married a man, Victor, and that was odd, and so everybody said, what? And that really makes you think, well, I wish I had a normal name like an Alice or a Mary or something like that, or a Jane. I always liked the name Jane. Anyway, I'm stuck with what I was. My grandfather's name was Philip, and as I said, a very distinguished man, probably involved in the New Kensington Jewish community, but you see, it was before my time, and so I wasn't really aware of it at all. I only really remember very fondly going to the Home for the Aged. So when all the derogatory words began to come out of what the home had become, it bothered me, because my feeling with the home was one of love and beauty. I thought, isn't this wonderful that there is a place where people can come when they get old and can't go to their children, mm-hmm. because in that day, I don't know, I guess maybe they just weren't doing that. My mother lived with me for 20 years, and as I said, was a very important part of my life. She was a cashier, her name was Faye Servant. My granddaughter's middle name is for her. Beautiful, beautiful woman. And I always wished that I had looked like her. I always looked like my father. That's a picture of my father over there. And you can see that my brother is the image of my father. And I look very much like my father. And then I'm developing the same heaviness that he had. It must be the glandular condition, but I always wish that's a picture of my mother. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman. And beautiful inside. She was for almost 30 years a volunteer cashier at the gift shop of Montefiore Hospital. And again, that's where my love for Ladies' Hospital Aid Society came in, because she was the volunteer cashier and went devotedly almost every day to work there, just as a volunteer. And then I became affiliated with Ladies' Hospital Aid Society, sat on its board, and did work for a short time in the gift shop at Montefiore Hospital as both a cashier and a seller, because that was what I was doing, but I was paid. I was a paid worker. And then when the job became open to Weinberg Terrace mm-hmm. to work there full-time, that's when I became affiliated with Weinberg Terrace. But again, those things in those days, there was not a thought of bringing my grandfather on my father's side to live with us. And my father was an only child, so there wouldn't have been anyone else. So the home was a very vital thing for Jews of that day.
How far back does your family go in Pittsburgh? Where is your family, both sides of the family, where do they originate from?
Oh, from Russia, both sides. My father was born in Russia and came over when he was, said it was my mother born in Russia, but she came over in 1904 maybe. She was just 2 years old, but my father was born in Russia and came over very young also. So they weren't Pittsburghers mm-hmm. for centuries back.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents, that is. They actually were born in Russia and lived in Russia and then came over here to Pittsburgh. That's where they came in, once they came in through New York, and then came right to Pittsburgh because they had obviously relatives here. And I don't know who those relatives were. I've never really met them. There were a lot of Kaisermans in the city, but they moved. I have two cousins who live out on the coast and one cousin who lives in Reston, Virginia. And the only member of my uncle's four children who lives here is Earl Kaiserman. And that's all that I have here as actually on my mother's side. And no one on my father's side, because there were no other
mm-hmm.
siblings right. but himself.
What is your brother's name?
Harvey Servant, and he's married to Sarah Rosenfeld, whose father was he wasn't actually a rabbi, but he was something to do with running the shul. I can't remember what the term was that they used in those days, but he wasn't actually a rabbi, although they called him rabbi in those days. But they live here
okay.
in the city, and my brother has two children. My nephew, who's Dr. Scott Servant, he's a pediatrician, and he lives in the North Hills. And my niece, Sarah, Sherry Servant, McNeil, who's married to Ken McNeil, and they live in Plumborough. Neither of whom are married to Jewish people and don't really have an affiliation with Judaism. They were both bar and bat mitzvahed, but my nephew, who's the doctor, long since felt religion was not an important thing, and married a Catholic girl who is actually raising the children Catholic, and he really couldn't care less. And I've learned to live with what, you know, what's going to happen. My own son is engaged to a Catholic girl who is not going to convert and says she can raise the children, if there are children, God willing, in both religions. I think she has a lesson to learn. It's not possible. But what will happen is that they will not have religion.
What's your son's name again?
John David.
And yeah. He is in Boston?
He lives in Boston right now. He's a broker, and a stockbroker, and she's a lovely girl, but I know what's going to happen. I can see it in my mind's eye, unless perhaps she becomes affiliated with a lot more Jewish people. Where my son is in Boston, what he's doing is not really with Jewish people a lot. And so when he comes here, as he will do on the 28th, he'll come in early enough that we'll go to services together. And it's very heartbreaking for me because I am so affiliated. I go every Friday night to services at Road of Sholem, and every Saturday that I'm in town, that's where I am from 10:30 to 12 Saturday morning. And I feel a very deep feeling for Road of Sholem Temple and for my Reformed Judaism, mostly because I guess my husband was the executive director of Road of Sholem, but I think that Judaism is a wonderful religion. I find it very peaceful, very caring, very interesting for a person who has always been involved in the community. And I feel for my brethren, and I feel definitely that there's a very big loss that will occur to me when my son is no longer really going to be going to things. I mean, once I'm gone.
Right.
He will do it now, and he will say Kaddish for his father, and that's a must. But other than that, unless he enters a community,
right,
and that could happen, whether it's Boston or somewhere else, he could become more affiliated with Jewish people, and that would make him more caring, I think.
Mina, if you had to say how you think this happened in a family such as yours, that you became what you are by example, what would you say kind of
the times? I think the times. Yeah, they go so far afield. I liked it better in my growing up, where I stayed close to my mother, and my father died so young, I can't say, but I was in the same city that my father was in. You didn't gravitate away from your home.
Mm-hmm.
My husband did. He was a New Yorker, and he lived in Laurelton, Long Island, and loved New York. We went as often as we could go to New York, and always visited relatives for the first few days of any vacation. But that got less and less as my mother-in-law would just have one party and have everybody there, and we'd get to see everyone and then not run around like crazy nuts first. And then, because then we were more interested in going to shows and ballet, my husband's interests were multifaceted, and so we went. But I think the going away to college, which my husband did, I didn't. I stayed here and went to the University of Pittsburgh, again, because my mother was alone, and there was nobody going to be with her, and I felt it was very important. Although I got scholarships to a number of schools that were away, I really felt that it was important that I stay near to her and let her chef the nakas that was coming through everything that I did. She loved every you know, facet of what I did. I was an A-Fi, and she was an A-Fi mother, and what else is there in life if you can't really enjoy what your children are doing? And I think that it's very bad now that we don't get to see them. I have my only two grandchildren live in Weston, Connecticut. My daughter went to school with Sarah Lawrence and met a New Yorker and married and moved to Connecticut. And so I see them very little. It's really very difficult to get together on occasions for things. And how much nicer it would have been had she been here and gone and lived here and me have the advantage. Now, lots of my friends do have that, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, I don't. My son went to Babson and then to Boston University from where he graduated. And unfortunately, at Babson, there were very few Jews. And so the few that there were, he remained friends with, but they move away. They went back to where they were born. And John got a job immediately, actually during the day was a broker, and it was a wonderful opportunity for him. So he entered it while he was finishing his senior year, and so he went to school, he was able to go to school at night and not have to work at school during the day. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't meet very right. many Jewish people, and then he stayed in the heart of Boston, and where the Jewish community is in Boston is in Newton and further out, and now, of course, they're growing, and they're way out in the suburbs, and you'll find Jews, but he didn't join a temple then because he belonged here to Rosh Hashanah with his family and came home for every holiday. So that wasn't important to him then. It isn't when you're young. Consequently, there was no reason for him to be a member of a synagogue. Then he met a girl. Well, first he was engaged to a Jewish girl, and that was a very bad engagement. It just wasn't right for him. So he says, "See, Mom, I tried the Jewish thing, and now I'm not, you know, I just couldn't care less about that, and so now I'm trying a girl." Unfortunately, she really, she has a mother who goes probably to her church. She lives in a small town in Texas, Fort Jackson, Texas, and her mother had a lot of misfortune. Her husband died at the age of 48, and she had her oldest child was her son, and her only son, and he was killed in a motorcycle accident at the age of, I think, 22, something like that. So she sought the church and is a very good Catholic, and so, of course, she, too, would like her grandchildren to be raised Catholic. It's only natural, and I don't think that Kelly really had any sense of religion much, except she went at Christmas time and at Easter to church. And this year, the year that they became engaged, she neither went at Christmas time nor did she go at Easter time. So I have a feeling, as I say to you, that it, just as she knows that there will not be a priest at the ceremony, there also will not be a rabbi. And since we have a very dear friend, Cyril Wecht, who can perform a marriage ceremony, he would do it, and it would even be more meaningful to John, because that's his Uncle Cyril, and we've had years and years and years of closeness to that family. John grew up knowing that this is his Uncle Cyril and that's his Aunt Sigrid. So that those things didn't bother me. And as far as a bris is concerned, my daughter is married to a Jewish man, and they didn't have a bris. They had him, you know, for their friends to come from New York to Connecticut is a totally different world for them. And so here she is married to a Jewish man, and she didn't have a bris. So what is so important? I gather that as you get older, And I just read something that told me, something in Reform Judaism magazine, as you get older, these things become less and less important to you. What would please me would be to be alive to see a grandchild bar or bat mitzvah. In this case, they're not even married yet, and Lord knows when they're going to get married. So I hold off even worrying about that. The chances of my getting to a bar mitzvah of my grandson, who is seven and a half now, will be very good, and that will please me no end. But then, am I going to be alive when this child, whoever it be, is a boy or a girl, is going to turn 13?
Is your daughter affiliated with
any temple? Yes, she belongs to a Reformed temple in Westport, Connecticut, and both of the children went there for temple. There was a preschool, temple preschool, and my granddaughter is now going to, and she's four, and she will enter kindergarten, kindergarten. I'm really not sure what happens now in September, but she, I think, has another year of